It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. Reginald Datatula in for Kevin and Corey, who are on vacation. I'm alongside Mike Bassick and Alec Medford. Take you through your midday here on a Wednesday in the Metroplex. Thanks for riding along with us. You can get even more involved by texting in to the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney text line, 877-881-1053. Adolis Garcia, what is there to evaluate? What is there to see when it comes to his confidence and his effort going into the second half of the season? Obviously, Adolis, your hometown participant in the Home Run Derby. And I know that going into the Home Run Derby, I was looking at it as with the way that he came into the All-Star break, is that something that it can shift? Because I know Home Run Derby, the fly ball rate and those types of things can shift for players in the second half. And usually that works in a negative way. And I'm like, man, he needs to go in a positive way, because coming into this, he wasn't looking like the best of Adolis Garcia.
No, and so to start the year, he seemed to have that same attitude and energy that he had playoff Adolis Garcia. And in the offseason,
he
avoided arbitration, mm-hmm. and they signed a 2-year, $15 million contract. So it would guarantee that he was here this year and next year, at least under contract. They can trade him. He doesn't have like a trade clause in this. But so I remember this during one of the Bruce Bochy interviews, and it was right around, I'm going to guess, early to mid-May. It was the Atlanta Braves series. I remember, I think it was this series, and Bruce Bochy comes on our airways and he says, yeah, I told Adolis, man, I haven't seen your teeth in a while, because he hasn't been smiling.
Yeah.
And so he's like, hey, man, I just want you to smile and enjoy the game again, type of deal. Like, you're too hard on yourself. You get too down on yourself. He was discussing all of these things. So it was like, oh, okay. And I think he had a big home run. He was wearing some special shoes during that because it was Sunday night baseball. And so anyways, I want to then fast forward to the All-Star break, is that Houston series.
Yes.
So in the Houston series, I hadn't pointed this out because we've been talking a lot about Monday night, Tuesday night.
Yep.
Here we are Wednesday. Well, we're about to get back into Friday and you're playing arguably the best team in the American League, the Baltimore Orioles. So in that series, John Singleton hits a one-hop rocket off of the right field wall. And I'm thinking, if John Singleton, who does not run well, he's a first baseman, if he goes for two, Adolis loves these situations. Mm-hmm. He's going to throw a one-hop rocket or right in the air, because it's a short right field in Houston, and he's going to gun him out by a good 10 feet. And Adolis gets the ball off the wall. John Singleton runs, and Adolis lobs the ball into second base. And John Singleton makes it into second with a slide, but he makes it in easily, safe. And then in the series, Adolis hits a rocket up the middle, and Altuve makes a great backhanded diving play. And then Altuve, I can't remember if he stayed on his knees or if he got up and lobbed the ball, but either way, he lobs the ball. And as he releases the ball and lobs it, I'm like, dude, Adolis might beat this out. And then Adolis is out by 30 feet. Adolis, after he hit the ball and saw that it was caught by Altuve, decided, I'm not going to run to first base. And so these are things. I love Adolis. I'm going to love Adolis the rest of my life for what he did for the Texas Rangers. And he's had a great Rangers career. And hopefully there's more Rangers career to it that we're going to love. But these things, the lack of joy that we've noticed as a fan, the lack of joy that manager Bruce Bochy has noticed, the at times lack of energy that he's providing. He's always been a big spark of energy and a spark of, the raw emotion of the game. He's the guy that you do have to worry about the wave that he can ride his energy levels, where Semien and Seager have almost no emotion playing the game of baseball, where you have this guy who we connect with more because he is more emotional. But this year, he hasn't been that emotional about the game. He's just been kind of down.
Yeah, I mean, when you have that emotional center, like when the highs are high, that's when you see him, like, you know, tugging at his jersey and like yelling and throwing his bat and those types of things in, you know, the ALCS. And those are the things that energize the club and the fans, but the clubhouse itself. But then the dips really are noticeable, and that's been there. But like, in addition to that, right? I one of the things I talked to you about, because I mean, you're a former professional baseball player, you have some more insight on this, is I wonder what could be getting to that. Be like, what could be making that energy not be there? And you talked about like how the manager Bochy went and talked to him, I'm not seeing your teeth, and it makes me wonder like how much is he focusing on like trying to get it back? Because I know for me, and I know I can't necessarily put my experience in on him, but for me, sometimes if I feel like I'm not doing well, then I get in my head about okay, what I'm not doing well, and I'm thinking about those things, and that can somewhat pull me further away from the good performances that I want to give. And I do wonder, like, do you feel like maybe that's some of it where he's getting up and he's like, all right, I know that I have to worry about the high heat. And I know that I have to, and if you feel like you're not succeeding in that way, that kind of negative outcomes can lead to more negative outcomes because you're dwelling on it so much.
Yeah. And I get this is that he's down because he's performing below his standard. So I'm just going to give you what his standard has been for his career. 238 batting average. That's not impressive, but he's batting 211 this year right now at the break. So that is 27 points lower than his career average. And I'm adding in, obviously, the little bit of St. Louis and the really struggling second half of his first full season with the Texas Rangers. His career average for on-base percentage, 298 this year, 277. His career slug, 457 this year, 405. His career OPS, 756 this year, 682. That is down quite a bit from his career average. I get that league averages are down quite a bit in baseball, but I'm giving you Adolis's career average because I'm adding in those 21 games. There's only 17 plate appearances, but this is added into his career averages. 118 batting average with St. Louis. Yeah, 176 slug with St. Louis.
That's definitely bringing it down.
If I go to 2020, he only had seven at-bats or seven plate appearances. He had a zero batting average with the Texas Rangers there. And then in 2021, he made the All-Star team, but he had a 243 batting average. On base was low at 286. The year after that, doesn't make the All-Star team, 250 batting average, 756 OPS. Last year, 245 batting average, 836 OPS. 29 home runs the last 2 years, 101 RBIs. Last year, 107 RBIs. This year, 45, and we're obviously past the halfway point, so you can't multiply that times two and say, well, he's on pace for 90 RBIs. Last 2 years, he's been a 100-plus RBI guy, and this year he's looking more towards like an 80 RBI season. Now, that can all change in the second half, because if we do get to 90, he would definitely outperform what he did in the first half. I'm hoping he gets back to his career averages in the second half, but he's going to have to be able to. This is such a game of failure that he's failing even more than what you usually fail in the game. He's going to have to play this the second half if the Rangers have a chance. And if he has a chance to bounce back from what he did in the first half, he's going to have to play this game with more positive energy.
Yeah.
Because he seems to be lingering in the negative.
Yeah,
and not enjoying himself.
It does feel mental. Because I know someone on the text line mentioned that, hey, man, maybe he's injured. He collided with Marcus Semien, or maybe it's better to say Marcus Semien collided with him in shallow right field May 18th.
Okay.
And for a segment of time after that, we saw a downturn in Marcus Semien's batting average. Marcus Semien went from like 270 to 179, and we went from slugging 465 to slugging 258 for a period of time after that. Like, we saw that downturn. But I don't know. Would you agree with that? Because I feel like it's mental, and I feel like you can see the signs for him that it's more mental. And, like, you know, sometimes he'll, you know, swing it, you know, make contact, and then his head will drop or things like that, where it feels like that's more mental than it is the physical aspects of it.
From that point, I have not done tons of TV broadcasts. Like, coming out of the break, I have the whole homestand as the analyst with Dave Raymond. And I get to go into the dugout. I get to go into the clubhouse about 2:40-ish. I can't remember what time the clubhouse opens off the top of my head, but right around 2:30, 2:45, you can get into the clubhouse and you can kind of see the guys and maybe have conversations with the guys. I try not to bug them in the clubhouse. I try to maybe like see them in the dugout and just say something quick and not bug them. I get it, man. They're getting ready for the game. They got enough media responsibilities. I get it. But I do get to be in the dugout at 3 o'clock when Bruce Bochy does his interviews. Mm-hmm. I remember, and this is late May, this is early June, they're asking those questions. And he would say, yeah, Semien's a little dinged up from that.
Yeah.
But he's playing through it. We're not going to put him on the injured list. Hey, he's been saying for a while now, Bruce Bochy, there's nothing physically wrong with Adolis Garcia. I can only take his word. Maybe he's fibbing, but I don't know why you would do that. As a guy struggling, you would say, yeah, man, he's dealing with a sore knee, or yeah, man, his hip's been bugging him or whatever. Like, usually, you know, Bruce Bochy or a hitting coach or Chris Young or whoever might tell you, yeah, man, he's physically right now, he's not right.
And especially Bochy. Bochy's been pretty forthcoming with us.
At times, yeah. Corey Seager, they're like, yeah, man, he's dealing with something. That's why we're giving him the day off. We're trying not to put him on the injured list, but he's dealing with something. He's fighting through it. I have not heard. In fact, they've been the opposite on Adolis. Now, I could be wrong about this, but they have not been talking about a physical injury throughout the struggle. They've been talking about the mental part of it and the joy of it. And then you see in Houston that you're like, this isn't Adolis, man. Adolis loves throwing out guys. He loves gunning guys, yes, especially at home, but he doesn't. He loves gunning guys at second base. It's so John Singleton went against his reputation and said, I'm going to try for two, even though, and then Adolis. Now, here's the
like
deal.
Maybe that's something that the Astros notice and that they're like, hey, we're going to take advantage
like
of him
he's
in
not,
right field.
He's not gunning for guys anymore. He's not taking the pride in being one of the best arms in right field.
Absolutely.
So now, if I was the Baltimore Orioles scout and I was at that game, I have to write down, hey, we can run on Adolis right now. I could be wrong. I'd put in my notes, I could be wrong, but he didn't seem to want to throw guys out. So you might be able to be a little bit more aggressive because he doesn't seem to be as aggressive in throwing the ball in. And then at the plate, you'd have to write down right now he can be beat with multiple pitches because he doesn't seem confident.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem to be going to – when he went to the plate with the game on the line, I just felt so good about it. It didn't mean he was like a 700 hitter. Sure. He's probably like a 250 hitter in those situations. But as a teammate, which I'm not of his, but as a fan of his, I feel like, dude, he wants the bat.
Yeah.
And right now – he just seems to like lack confidence and lack joy that needs to change. So I love Adolis. I want to tell him, man, I'll love you forever. And you know what? This fan base is going to love you forever.
Absolutely. I mean, the way that building went up for him when he's in that home run derby, they love that man.
But I can't change his confidence. Yeah. Tim Hyer can't change his confidence. Bruce Bochy can't change his confidence. I'm sorry, I'm forgetting the name of their sports psychologist, baseball psych. They can help. They can try to help. But it's all about Adolis regaining that spark that we love Adolis for. El Bombi.
Yeah.
Like, we need El Bombi to hit Linus. And I'm hoping that when we see him Friday night against Baltimore, that's a huge series. And I'll get into it more in Mike Likes It. I was listening to a little bit of MLB Network and what they were saying specifically about the Texas Rangers and their chances in the second half. And that series against Baltimore could still mean a lot. What they did against the Astros meant quite a bit. It kept them alive, but they're still not really alive.
Yeah.
And I'll talk about that in Mike Likes It in about 30 minutes. But I need Adolis to play this game with that spark and that joy because his spark and his energy and his ability, because he's very talented, when he gets going and he's doing his thing, he's flexing, he's in the dugout dancing with Leody or whoever it is, like there's something about him that draws energy to this team, and I need it. We need it as a Texas Ranger fan. We need Adolis to get back to that spark that he was last year, the spark that he was when he came up, I don't know, 2-3 weeks into his career in 2021 and made the All-Star team. Like that Adolis, we need that Adolis. And if we get that Adolis, that gives the Rangers a better chance to come back from 4 back of the Astros and 5 back of Seattle.
Right, and we've had some success at times, like kind of challenging the Metroplex in some ways. So maybe this is what we need from the 325 on the text line. They said, I wish fans of the ballpark would all chant El Bombi while he's batting. We have to give him confidence. Like the idea that maybe the fans can then imbue that into him.
And he can feed off of us.
Like almost like a jump start. Like get him going. Get him going so that he can be the catalyst for the rest of this team as they start the second half of the season.
I love that thought. I love that attitude. I just don't know in Arlington if you can get, let's just say, 20,000 people, because there's going to be about 35,000 to 38,000 people for that Baltimore series. I know that there are tickets available, but there's not tons of tickets available for that series. I'd love for that to happen. I think asking our fans to become the Philadelphia Phillies fans, or to become whatever, a Northeast fan base that really inspires the players. The players have to almost inspire us in our Metroplex. And then we're inspired and then we join along.
Yeah.
Other places it can be the opposite, but this doesn't seem to be a place where we're going to get that many people chanting El Bombi to really get him going.
Well, maybe we have to reach out to our guy. Was it Jake that put together the Section 133 last year and really got it going? Maybe like we need a resurgence of that, because that was something that the players noted. They loved it. And it seems like Adolis El Bombi needs it right now in particular, because you really need that confidence if you want the run to go on. And of course, Mike will circle back on that when we get to Mike Likes It here. It's the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk to our friend, pre and post game host for your Texas Rangers on the Rangers Radio Network, Jared Sandler. We'll do it next on The Fan. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling. Come on, move! You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. Reginald Adatula, Mike Bassick, and Alec Medford hanging out with you today. Appreciate you hanging out with us. Get involved on the Franklin Injury Attorney text line, 877-881-1053. We'll get you some Mike Likes It here shortly. But before that, let's talk to the pre- and post-game host of your Texas Rangers on the Rangers Radio Network. He's our guy, your guy, our favorite guy, Jared Sandler. Jared, how you doing, man?
I'm great, guys. I got to attend my first ever game at Globe Life Field strictly as a fan last night. And,
are you for real?
Yeah, I don't know the last time I went to a baseball game as a fan, like not including like my nephew's, like, you know, rec games or whatever. I don't know. I'm trying to think. Bassick, have we gone to a game together as a fan, like on a road trip? I don't think so, right?
No, I mean, the Atlanta series was weird, but you were doing that if you were on that trip, which I think you were.
Okay.
You were doing that series, but because Sunday night baseball, but you're doing radio, so.
Yeah, but okay, so I guess you're right. There was a the Oakland, the day before the doubleheader when the Rangers scored like 700 runs.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I was at that game as a fan, or I mean, I was in the press box, but yeah, I guess that doesn't even totally count. I don't know the last time I sat like in the seating bowl for a game. It was cool. I enjoyed it. It was how cool would it have been if Corey Seager's ball would have gone like 411 feet, not 408 feet or whatever. He'd have been the MVP.
Yeah, the building would have exploded. I have very important questions for you, and I start with this very important question. If, as a fan, you were sitting in the lower bowl, and let's say that a hot dog from heaven fell to you, would you have eaten it?
Absolutely.
In your face, Mike.
Actually, I would. In all honesty, I probably would have investigated it. And then I've eaten way worse. Yeah, I would have for sure probably eaten it. I probably would have been hungry too.
Sandler.
Because I don't love going to get food during games. And you know, unlike basketball where there's a halftime and maybe I can sneak onto the concourse with 30 seconds left in the second quarter to try to beat the rush. Like, you don't really have that in baseball. So I probably would have been hungry. Yeah, I would have. But I'm not a big swinger like Mike Bacsik. I mean, he was sitting lower bowl. He had the sweet seats, you know, former big leaguer getting the alumni seats. I'm sitting up with the common folk. I was up in right field, second deck, hanging out with all the Rangers people who were there to watch the game. So the hot dogs from heaven actually – they originated beneath us. We were above.
You were above heaven.
Incredible. That was going on.
I caught a hot dog from heaven, Sandler.
Did you eat it?
No.
What did you do with it?
Well, I offered it to the people sitting next to me, and they wanted to take a picture with it, with the parachute and the hot dog. And so I was like, well, and then I opened it up, and it was room temperature. And I love a ballpark hot dog as long as it's hot and the bread is
otherwise
warm.
The dog.
And I was like, I'm just deciding. So I put the hot dog under my seat and it stayed there.
Mike, you might remember this. Reggie, I can't imagine you would. And I'll tell you, I don't even remember. I think it was at Reunion. I don't think they did this at American Airlines Center, but they used to do something similar. It wasn't food. They had these little parachute things for Stars games that they would drop. And there was like a gift card attached to it or some sort of voucher. But what people didn't realize is that the parachute itself had value. You would take it onto the concourse to like, you know, behind section 112 to redeem your item or whatever. And I was like that Zach Campbell guy, you know, who goes and gets all the home run balls, except I would go and get all the parachutes attached to the gift card. So someone would reach for the gift card and I'd rip the parachute. And I mean, I'm like 7, 8 years old. And these people would think, oh, well, cool, you can have this trash parachute. And I'd go run up and I'd get like a bobblehead or a puck or whatever. So I used to love that. That to me is way more appealing than a hot dog from heaven. Having some sort of cool, like merchandise attached to it. That was my jam back in the late Reunion Arena era years with the Stars.
Okay. Excellent. Look, I love getting some of that experience, but I mean, you experienced a little bit of the entirety of the All-Star festivities. I know some of that you had to be in Houston for that series as well. What for you is going to be the standout takeaway from the experience at Globe Life Field and just in Arlington of All-Star 2024?
Well, first of all, it was so cool to see Nolan Ryan, Ferguson Jenkins, Pudge, and Adrian Beltre all together. You just don't get. I don't know if how much you guys saw it. Nolan's obviously not in the greatest shape ever, right? So to see him out on a field, you never know how many more opportunities you'll have for something like that. And how cool is it that the Rangers are hosting and Beltre, next week Hall of Fame. I mean, just all that together was really neat. I think it's really cool to see all these stars together in one place. And I think it's cool for fans to, maybe they can't go to the Philly series the one time every 2 years they go, they come to town and they get to see Bryce Harper, or maybe the Yankees tickets, are too expensive. Not that, these tickets were cheap or anything, but you know, they get to see Aaron Judge. I still wish they got to see him in their uniforms.
Thank you. Oh, my God.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, you know, yesterday, after all the pomp and circumstance of the introductions, which I always felt like as a kid was the coolest part, it really at that point just became a game. It was a game with super talented people. I do have some thoughts about, like, the in-game experience, not specific to going to a Rangers game, but I wonder, guys, I was talking about this with someone, you know, where I was sitting up in the second deck in right field, you know, you're a ways away, and not everyone is going to be able to sit 5, 10, 20 rows, you know, from the action, right? I just wonder, like, why can't we have mics umped up, or umps mic'd up? So after each pitch, you hear them say ball or strike, because one thing the pitch clock has done, and it's I wouldn't trade the pitch clock for anything, but the amount of time you have to play a little jingle or music to kind of engage people has shrunk, because I think the music has to be off when the pitcher is on the rubber. And because of the pitch clock, now that's, you know, that window is very small. You have like an 8-pitch at bat, and if you're far away, you don't feel as connected to the action. And so I wonder if something like that would help to keep people sort of abreast of what's going on. But overall, it was really cool. And how cool is it? It would have been awesome if Bobby Witt Jr. would have won the Derby. But the fact that it came down to his final swing and he was in the finals, you know, if Adolis wasn't going to advance, to have a DFW product be there, I thought that was really neat as well.
Hey, this is maybe a silly question because I didn't get to watch this. I was doing the Astros game, but the Futures game. Were you on the field calling the the competition stuff where they would bunt the ball or hit the ball? Or am I crazy? Because I turned that on YouTube the other day and I was like, is that Sandler's voice in the background?
Yeah, I was emceeing the Futures game skills competition. So I wasn't doing anything for the Futures game.
Talk about that. That had to be amazing.
Yeah, how did you not mention that?
You're on the field.
You're out here talking about miking up
the Futures game skills competition.
So, yeah, that was really neat. And Sebastian Walcott from the Rangers was one of the 8 competitors. You had some of the, you know, the top prospects. Tamar Johnson, who was a, you know, top 5 pick a couple years ago. Cam Collier, Lou's son. But yeah, it was really neat. So full disclosure, and I don't know if the MLB mob is going to come and fight me for saying this, although I think if you know, 1 + 1 = 2 here, it was a great event, but it 110% is something done to, as a testing ground, to see if they can, you know, bring this to Major League Baseball and maybe attach this to the Home Run Derby or something. Now, one thing I learned is that, you know, You can't. It's not just as simple as, so here are the 3 events. I'll start with that. So you had 3 rounds. They were all hitting events. No fielding, no base running, no pitching, throwing, any of that. The first one was there were targets on the field in the outfield, and then 2 bunting bullseyes. You know, one down the third base and the other down the first base line, and you could accrue points based on target. You know, targets hit. The second one was you had to call, you know, whether you're going to pull the ball, hit it to center, or hit it to the opposite field. And it didn't matter how hard you hit it, as long as it cleared the infield, you get points for doing that. And you'd be surprised. I mean, guys struggled with that. That was not as executed as flawlessly as you'd think. And then the third one was Home Run Derby, but with the same concept. You had to call your shot. So you could, it was a Home Run Derby, but you had to hit a home run I take that back. You didn't have to call your shot. You got more points for going opposite field with a homer, but it was just essentially Home Run Derby. So what I learned through the process is that the Players Association, if Major League Baseball is going to bring an event like this to you know, the Major League side, you'd have to get approval, right? So things like a hardest pitch thing probably would not be approved. I don't know if a sprinting thing would be approved because these guys don't want to, you know, pull anything. Are they going to, you know, approve something like that? I don't know. You know, could you have a target practice type of thing? I think that could, you know, from a throwing standpoint, maybe that's something there. I would tell you this definitely, there's legs to it, right? There are definitely changes I'd make that that first round. I know that they weren't sure whether players would swing away or try and bunt. And most of them, I'd say 85% of the quote unquote swings were bunts, which is fine, but that probably takes a little bit of excitement out of it. You know, I know they do this either in Japan or Korea and the place goes crazy for it. The fans at Globe Life Field were not going crazy as bunts were either hitting the bullseye or rolling past the bullseye. So, you know, I think it was a good experience. I think the targets in the outfield, you can be more creative and do a little bit more with it. But for a first-time event, it was a good concept, and I hope it's something that they don't discard next year and they keep growing it, you know, not only with the futures game prospects, but hopefully bringing something like that to the major leagues.
While we're talking about fixing games, we're talking to Jared Sandler.
Interesting transition.
Yeah, that's right. Not fixing games, and you know what I mean, but like making things better.
Like Michael Porter Jr.'s brother.
Nope, not Jonte Porter. Okay. But yeah, we're talking to Jared Sandler, pre- and post-game host for your Texas Rangers on the Texas Rangers Radio Network. You have a take when it comes to, I don't know, is this baseball in general or particularly the All-Star game about moving the mound back? Can you explain what your stance is here?
Yeah, no, I think, and maybe someone like Mike, a pitcher, is going to hate this. Kelly Wunsch. Mike, you remember Kelly Wunsch, the left-handed reliever, pitched for the White Sox?
I don't. The closest one that comes to mind is Kelly Leak, who is the center fielder for the Bad News Bears.
Yes, no, different guy.
I think of Kelly Olynyk. I don't think that's what you wanted. Okay. But yeah.
And I don't think he has any thoughts on the mound. But anyway, Kelly Wunsch, he's retired, but he kind of came at me on Twitter, which is fine. I expect all pitchers to not like this. But here's my thought. The mound was determined to be 60 feet, 6 inches back in 1893. Okay. The caliber of athlete, the technology, all of that, the resources, everything. I think we can all agree way different in 1893 than it is in 2024. It is not unprecedented for baseball to respond to a wave of results in impacting the mound. Prior to the 1969 season, after, you know, this tremendous era of pitching, they lowered the mound, right, to take away a little bit of an advantage. So lowering the mound has been done. My question is simply, I'm not sitting here pounding my fist on the table saying you have to move the mound back. All I am simply asking is, can we please consider it? And can we get people who are far smarter than you know, I am or any of us are to understand what the impacts would be? One of the biggest points of resistance has been pitcher health. Well, miss me with that. Okay, let's not act like we're keeping pitchers healthy right now. And also, I think to some degree, you're taking away these incredible athletes' abilities to adapt. I'm not asking to move the mound back 10 feet. Maybe it's 6 inches. Maybe it's a foot. Maybe it's 3 inches. I don't know. Study the impact of reaction time based on, you know, any kind of incremental move to the mound. But my point is simply this. Guys are throwing harder than ever before. Okay, we no longer blink. If I tell you a guy's throwing 99, you're like, oh, okay, he must be like every, you know, 50% of relievers in Major League Baseball, right? Paul Skeens, it was so much fun to watch him yesterday, but I'll be honest with you. I was sitting next to someone who's, I would describe as an above-average baseball fan, and he was excited to see Paul Skeens, but the radar gun didn't impress him. He was throwing 98, 99. How crazy is that? Like, he's impressed by how good Paul Skeens has been, but just the fact he throws a 98-mile-an-hour fastball, you know, just that happens, right? Point being, hitters, and you talk to any of the hitters these days. I was talking to a guy on the Rangers, and he was saying, I don't even know if I want my kids to play baseball. Like, who knows what they're going to have to deal with 5 years from now, 10 years from now. You know, guys are throwing 92-mile-an-hour sliders, and anyway, here's what I would say. Hitting is still struggling, right? We made the rules with a shift, and that improved it temporarily. But pitching is so far advanced, and you got all these labs and these ways now to enhance pitchers, maximize their ability to improve. And it's unique, right? It's the only sport where the guy with the ball can dictate so much with such little opportunity to react what happens, right? So all I'm asking is, if you are concerned about the fact that offense is at a low and that the league-wide batting average is like 242 or whatever it is, why don't we consider moving the mound back 3 inches, 6 inches? We lowered the mound before 69. Why not consider moving the mound back? We're not dealing with the same athlete we were dealing with in 1893. And I'm not sitting here saying that Walter Johnson wasn't good or any of that. They didn't have the opportunity to take advantage of the resources and the growth and the technology that the guys do now. This is not a they weren't as good back then argument. It is simply the reality of where we are now. And I just think it's something that needs to be considered. And I just to improve reaction time, even a smidge, will help bring a little bit of offense back into the game. I don't want this game played on Mars. I don't want every score to be 12-10. That's not what I'm advocating. But it also doesn't need to be the offensive climate that we are currently playing in, which is even worse in some metrics than pre-73 when the DH was not a part of the American League and you had pitchers hitting. That is where we're at offensively here in 2024.
All right, Sandler, I heard you. As a former pitcher who topped off at 91, and I have no clue how the gun read 91 when I did it. I agree with you at this point.
Oh, wow.
I think it is tough to implement it. I think it's going to be very tough to implement it. And I would only move it because it was actually a mistake that it's 60 feet, 6 inches. It was
That's
the person
right.
who made the field saw the zero. It was 60.0. And actually, it was like, that looks like a 6 to me. So it made the field 60 points, the mound 60.6 inches away instead of the 60 feet it was supposed to be. Is I would only do it at 6 inches. So I would move it to 61 feet. I have no clue if... I know, mark this or whatever, but I have no clue if just moving it back six inches is going to make a difference. So I wouldn't go extreme, but I would maybe 6 inches is enough to help out these hitters be what we consider more average.
Yeah.
Because I just went over Adolis' number. I mean, it's another topic, but I mean, it's like Adolis playing with joy, Adolis getting back to who he has been for the majority of his career in the second half if the Rangers are going to make a run at making the playoffs. But Adolis' numbers at a 682 OPS, that looks really bad to me. But overall, in the league, that's not really bad. It's just a hair below average, correct?
Yeah, I mean, it's the league-wide OPS is now just a little bit above 700. So compare that to 4 or 5 years ago when we're talking about 720, 730, 740. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, 682 is not good, but it's not – the discrepancy between that and the league average is not as wide as you would expect.
And I will say this. Watching 1990s football, which I've been watching a lot of, it's really weird how like the NFL season's about to start and I'm not watching like last year's football. I'm watching my Troy Aikman football. Is the rules have changed tremendously in football because they realized that we're killing these quarterbacks. We are killing these wide receivers with certain routes, and we want these receivers to feel comfortable going over the middle. So we're not going to allow the defense to hit them. We're going to allow them to catch the ball clean now, where Michael Irvin and Alvin Harper and these guys were not allowed to catch the ball clean on a slant. They were going to get destroyed on them. And it was you were supposed to destroy them on them. And the quarterback would throw the ball, and 2 seconds later, they would almost punch him in the face.
Hell, we have safeties in the Hall of Fame just based off of hitting the heck out of people.
Yeah, so I'm like, these other sports have... Hell, when you watch an NBA basketball game now, the carrying and the traveling that happens in that sport is, to me, gross. But they've allowed it because they think for the entertainment of the game, it's better, whether you agree with it or not. And so for the entertainment of the game, I think the pitch clock and certain things have made me enjoy the game more lately. Maybe moving the mound back 6 inches from a former pitcher, maybe that would help out the game better.
And Mike, let me add to that, because I agree. One of the things that people say, well, why are you penalizing pitchers? Does it penalize pitchers to some degree? It does. You're right. Just like some of the rule changes you just mentioned with the other sports will penalize certain types of players. But unfortunately, as much as we love this game, we need other people to love the game. And 10 years from now, if this trend continues, people are not going to love the game if the league-wide average is 240, 239, whatever. Because I'm going to tell you something. The technology and the resources for these pitchers is not going to get worse, right? It's not. And it's amazing. It is so fascinating the ways that these guys are able to improve their craft. I love it. It's awesome. But it's about the entertainment. It's about the fan. We're not trying to turn this into WCW or whatever. That's not at all what this is. There, like, some people look at it like, you know, one extreme or the other. That's not at all what it is. But you're right. It's about the health of the game. And it's not, yeah, I guess it does maybe penalize pitchers. Sure. It also is not going to take Paul Skeens and make him worse. It's going to help Paul Skeens stand out. Because I someone said to me, well, you're going to now lose the pitchers and take away from their stardom. No, you're not. Think about the pitchers in the 70s, 80s, 90s. I mean, those are the pitchers, honestly, we celebrate more. there are more star pitchers then because their ability was able to stand out more. Well, now that you got everyone throwing 98, 99, it is going to perhaps, if it has the intended effect, really reward good pitchers again. It's not going to just reward throwers, right? We are in an era where you can be a thrower and get away with it way easier than you used to be able to. Back when I was coming up, you know, as a baseball fan, and Mike, you as well, if you threw 95, that was hard. But if you threw 95 and you were a thrower, you were not going to survive. Now you can throw 100 miles an hour and be a thrower, and you're going to be okay. There will be a place for you as long as you can kind of throw strikes a little bit, right? So I think it will only reward pitching even more. And, yeah, it does penalize some pitchers to some degree. But you don't want this game to go to a bad place. And I haven't heard another good – like, I'm open to other suggestions. I just don't know, other than, like, hey, using aluminum bats, which I don't think anyone wants to do, right? I know all-star game, Mike, maybe. But, like, for 162, that's not practical.
You saw the home run derby with the high school kids.
Yeah.
If you, I'm being dead serious here. You would have a pitcher die, I think, once every 3 years if you allowed the metal bats that they use in college baseball. If you gave the best hitters in the world a metal bat, you would see the ball go eventually 600 feet in certain home runs in certain parts.
Yeah.
But you would also you'd also see pitchers die. And I won't bring up because I know that, you know, the family sometimes listens. But, I mean, we did have – the reason that there's helmets on coaches now is because we had a coach die from a line drive. And if you gave a metal bat, you might have more coaches die too.
Yeah, it's just – that to me is not a – you're right. That'd probably be dangerous. I think there – you can make an argument that – you know, they shouldn't even use them in college. But yeah, I just don't know. I'm trying to think of something realistic. Right. And to me, moving the mat, just like you could make an argument that they should widen the basketball court now, because now you got, you know, more guys who are 6'11" running like gazelle, you know, whatever, but like times change and you've got to keep up with the times. And you're right, Mike, the basketball has zipped past baseball in a lot of ways, football as well. And they change rules. We can call the quarterback soft because if they get touched, there's a flag. But none of us like watching an NFL game where it's the third-string quarterback against the second-string quarterback, and they're throwing ground balls to receivers trying to run 10-yard curl routes, right? Like, no one wants that. That is not fun. And so maybe you think it stinks that this is the way it is, but, you know, if you don't have eyeballs on your sport, you don't have ears on your sport, then, you know, that sport that you love isn't going to, you know, be what it used to be, or it's not going to get the type of attention and opportunity to be in the spotlight that you'd like.
You want me to get a little bit more hate from being a former player? Because if they hear this, they're not going to like what I say. Us as former players have to be more supportive of rule changes. Because you know what? The NBA sends out memos. And not to former players, but when they do something a little bit like, hey, we're going to change a little bit of this. But what we need from our coaches and our general managers and our owners is to say, this is the greatest thing ever. This is the greatest thing to ever happen. And they don't even have to believe it, but they have to support it as the greatest thing ever. And when they do, the fans are like, well, if I'm throwing out, I know he's not really the owner anymore, but if Mark Cuban thinks this is cool, and Jason Kidd thinks this is cool, and Nico Harrison thinks this is cool, and Dirk Nowitzki thinks this is cool, and Michael Finley thinks this is cool, then maybe it's cool. Maybe the stupid ass play-in thing that they are not that tournament that
the
they
NBA
have
Cup.
In. Yeah, that like it's stupid to me. But you know what they did? They all said it was awesome. And so these younger fans of the game are like, this is awesome. I think it's stupid. But as long as everybody says it's cool and former players say it's cool and the organization say it's cool, then maybe it's cool.
And Mike, some of that starts with, unfortunately, and I know you're talking about former players, but current players are going to become former players, and the relationship between the owners and the players is as bad as it's ever been. And you look at, when they were releasing the groups for the in-season tournament, I didn't watch the show, but it was on TV. I saw on ESPN, and they had a bunch of former players there. Maybe were they in Vegas, whatever. And it's like, I think Major League Baseball would have a really tough time getting guys in the off season to come and represent the sport, because they don't look at Rob Manfred and think, I want to do something to help you. Right. They don't look at the owners and think, hey, I want to do something. Maybe they like their owner, right? But the other 29, they don't care for, right? The relationships, but I'm not saying who's at fault, right? You know, I'm not in these conversations, but the relationship between the players and the owners is not healthy, and that doesn't help either. And you're right about the former players, and I don't think I would do this again now, knowing how intense Max Scherzer truly is. But one of the things that, you know, when I first met Max Scherzer and he spoke to the media, I told him, and I still believe this, I just now know that he, if he was in the wrong mood, he could like break me in 2 seconds. But I said, Max, I understand why you don't like the pitch clock, but it's not about you, right? You only have a few years left. This is, you're not going to have to deal with this. And all the younger pitchers are going to come up having experienced it in the minor leagues. This isn't about the game in 2020, you know, this was in 2023 last year. This isn't about 2023. This is about 2033. This is about 2043, right? And you're right, whether it's veterans who have a voice or former players, I just think that there needs to be a recognition that baseball does not have the place amongst the American sports fan that it used to. And no one is asking you to change the game. No one is asking you to make baseball something it totally isn't. Let's use the pitch clock as an example. Everyone said, well, the baseball's never had a clock. Yeah, but you know what? The baseball you grew up loving also wasn't, on average, 3 hours and 10 minutes per game. So it's actually the baseball of the last 10 years that isn't baseball, right? Or the baseball that you grew up with. All people are trying to do is get the game to optimize its ability to entertain while not losing its identity, not losing what's true about it. But some of these things, it can't just be because we've always done it this way. Why is the mound 60 feet 6 inches? Because a few people in 1893 made that decision. Why does that decision need to be permanent from more than a century ago, right? It just, things like that to me have to be reconsidered if you want. If this was football, and you even mentioned it, Mike, the NFL's made changes, but the NFL can get away with anything right now, right? I think the NFL probably heck, college football games can be 4 hours, but people love them, right? Because it's football, and football is capturing people right now. Baseball doesn't have that same advantage right now. It's a beautiful game. It's an amazing game that is more fascinating today than it ever has been. But they cannot compromise that by losing interest. And you cannot only work to appeal to the hardcore fan. Frankly, Mike, you and I, and you know this, we are not the target here. We love this sport. We are always going to love this sport. It's about the average sports fan who used to watch baseball highlights on SportsCenter and knew about the players, who doesn't anymore, because SportsCenter, you know, obviously they've made strategic decisions what's best for them, but SportsCenter no longer is going to cater to all the sports, right? You're not going to get a random Bernard Gilkey highlight, you know, in the 1990s, because that just doesn't happen anymore. So you lose that exposure. You've got to take the sports fan who's not necessarily a baseball fan and make sure you don't lose that person. Because the baseball fan is more often than not going to stay a baseball fan. But you got to work on growing the fan base. It can't be about maintaining the fan base. This sport needs to work on growth.
The most thorough man in DFW sports, one of our favorites for a reason that I'm sure you just heard, Jared Sandler. Jared, super excited to talk to you as always, and even more excited to hear you back at work once the Orioles come to town on Friday, man.
Fellas, great talk. I'm sure we could talk about this for hours and hours, but you got more in it. See, it's about entertainment, right?
Yes, absolutely.
You got to make decisions, so you're going to move on to whatever's next.
I think we made a great decision talking to you today, though. Have a good one,
Killed
man.
Mike likes it.
Don't worry, we can revive Mike's likes.
No, it's okay. I was going to talk more baseball, so I want to hear what Alec has to say.
Mike, you got a segment off, all right? It all works.
Thank you. I want to know what Alec has.
Later, Jared. There he is, Jared Sandler. And you'll have a chance to hear him Friday, as I mentioned. Rangers welcoming the Orioles to start the second half of the season. Super important. And to get you ready for that Friday. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural,
or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Radar gun didn't impress him. He was throwing 98-99. How crazy is that? Like, he's impressed by how good Paul Skeens has been, but just the fact he throws a 98-mile-an-hour fastball, you know, just that happens, right? Point being, hitters, and you talk to any of the hitters these days. I was talking to a guy on the Rangers, and he was saying, I don't even know if I want my kids to play baseball. Like, who knows what they're going to have to deal with 5 years from now, 10 years from now. You know, guys are throwing 92-mile-an-hour sliders, and anyway – here's what I would say. Hitting is still struggling, right? We made the rules with a shift, and that improved it temporarily. But pitching is so far advanced, and you got all these labs and these ways now to enhance pitchers, maximize their ability to improve. And it's unique, right? It's the only sport where the guy with the ball can dictate so much with such little opportunity to react what happens, right? So all I'm asking is, if you are concerned about the fact that offense is at a low and that the league-wide batting average is like 242 or whatever it is, why don't we consider moving the mound back 3 inches, 6 inches? We lowered the mound in 60 or before 69. Why not consider moving the mound back? We're not dealing with the same athlete we were dealing with in 1893. And I'm not sitting here saying that Walter Johnson wasn't good or any of that. They didn't have the opportunity to take advantage of the resources and the growth and the technology that the guys do now. They weren't as good back then argument. It is simply the reality of where we are now. And I just think it's something that needs to be considered. And I just, to improve reaction time, even a smidge, will help bring a little bit of offense back into the game. I don't want this game played on Mars. I don't want every score to be 12-10. That's not what I'm advocating. But it also doesn't need to be the offensive climate that we are currently playing in, which is even worse in some metrics than pre-73 when the DH was not a part of the American League and you had pitchers hitting. That is where we're at offensively here in 2024.
All right, Sandler, I heard you. As a former pitcher who topped off at 91, and I have no clue how the gun read 91 when I did it. I agree with you at this point.
Oh, wow.
I think it is tough to implement it. I think it's going to be very tough to implement it. And I would only move it because it was actually a mistake that it's 60 feet, 6 inches. It was That's the right. person who made the field saw the zero. It was 60.0. And actually, it was like, that looks like a 6 to me. So made the field 60 points, the mound 60.6 inches away instead of the 60 feet it was supposed to be. Is I would only do it at 6 inches. So I would move it to 61 feet. I have no clue if I know mark this or whatever, but I have no clue if just moving it back six inches is going to make a difference. So I wouldn't go extreme, but I would maybe 6 inches is enough to help out these hitters be what we consider more average.
Yeah.
Because I just went over Adolis's number. I mean, it's another topic, but I mean, it's like Adolis playing with joy. Adolis getting back to who he has been for the majority of his career in the second half if the Rangers are going to make a run at making the playoffs. But Adolis's numbers at a 682 OPS, that looks really bad to me. But overall in the league, that's not really bad. It's just a hair below average, correct?
Yeah, I mean, it's the league-wide OPS is now just a little bit above 700. So compare that to 4 or 5 years ago when we're talking about 720, 730, 740. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, 682 is not good, but it's not – the discrepancy between that and the league average is not as wide as you would expect.
And I will say this. watching 1990s football, which I've been watching a lot of, it's really weird how like the NFL season's about to start and I'm not watching like last year's football. I'm watching my Troy Aikman football. Is the rules have changed tremendously in football because they realized that we're killing these quarterbacks. We are killing these wide receivers with certain routes, and we want these receivers to feel comfortable going over the middle. So we're not going to allow the defense to hit them. We're going to allow them to catch the ball clean now, where Michael Irvin and Alvin Harper and these guys were not allowed to catch the ball clean on a slant. They were going to get destroyed on them, and it was you were supposed to destroy them on them, and the quarterback would throw the ball, and 2 seconds later they would almost punch him in the face.
Hell, we have safeties in the Hall of Fame just based off of hitting the heck out of people.
Yeah, so I'm like, these other sports have, hell, when you watch an NBA basketball game now, the carrying and the traveling that happens in that sport is, to me, gross. But they've allowed it because they think for the entertainment of the game, it's better, whether you agree with it or not. And so for the entertainment of the game, I think the pitch clock and certain things have made me enjoy the game more lately. Maybe moving the mound back 6 inches from a former pitcher, maybe that would help out the game better.
And Mike, let me add to that, because I agree. One of the things that people say, well, why are you penalizing pitchers? Does it penalize pitchers to some degree? It does. You're right. Just like some of the rule changes you just mentioned with the other sports will penalize certain types of players. But unfortunately, as much as we love this game, we need other people to love the game. And 10 years from now, if this trend continues, people are not going to love the game if the league-wide average is 240, 239, whatever. Because I'm going to tell you something. The technology and the resources for these pitchers is not going to get worse, right? It's not. And it's amazing. It is so fascinating the ways that these guys are able to improve their craft. I love it. It's awesome. But it's about the entertainment. It's about the fan. We're not trying to turn this into WCW or whatever. That's not at all what this is. There, like, some people look at it like, you know, one extreme or the other. That's not at all what it is, but you're right. It's about the health of the game, and it's not, yeah, I guess it does maybe penalize pitchers. Sure. It also is not going to take Paul Skeens and make him worse. It's going to help Paul Skeens stand out, because someone said to me, well, you're going to now lose the pitchers and take away from their stardom. No, you're not. Think about the pitchers in the 70s, 80s, 90s. I mean, those are the pitchers, honestly, we celebrate more. There are more star pitchers then because their ability was able to stand out more. Well, now that you got everyone throwing 98, 99, it is going to, perhaps, if it has the intended effect, really reward good pitchers again. It's not going to just reward throwers, right? We are in an era where you can be a thrower and get away with it way easier than you used to be able to. Back when I was coming up, you know, as a baseball fan, and Mike, you as well, if you threw 95, that was hard. But if you threw 95 and you were a thrower, you were not going to survive. Now you can throw 100 miles an hour and be a thrower, and you're going to be okay. There will be a place for you as long as you can kind of throw strikes a little bit, right? So I think it will only reward pitching even more. And, yeah, it does penalize some pitchers to some degree. But you don't want this game to go to a bad place. And I haven't heard another good – like, I'm open to other suggestions. I just don't know, other than, like, hey, using aluminum bats, which I don't think anyone wants to do, right? I know All-Star Game, Mike, maybe. But, like, for 162, that's not practical.
You saw the home run derby with the high school kids.
Yeah.
If you – I'm being dead serious here. You would have a pitcher die, I think, once every 3 years if you allowed the metal bats that they use in college baseball. If you gave the best hitters in the world a metal bat, you would see the ball go eventually 600 feet in certain home runs and certain parts.
Yeah.
But you would also see pitchers die. And I won't bring up, because I know that, you know, the family sometimes listens. But I mean, we did have the reason that there's helmets on coaches now is because we had a coach die from a line drive. And if you gave a metal bat, you might have more coaches die too.
Yeah, it just that to me is not a. You're right. That'd probably be dangerous. I think they're. You can make an argument that, you know, they shouldn't even use them in college. But yeah, I just don't know. I don't. I'm trying to think of something realistic, right? And to me, moving the mat, just like you could make an argument that they should widen the basketball court now, because now you got you know, more guys who are 6'11 running like gazelle, you know, whatever. But, like, times change, and you've got to keep up with the times. And you're right, Mike. The basketball has zipped past baseball in a lot of ways, football as well. And they change rules. We can call the quarterback soft because if they get touched, there's a flag. But none of us like watching an NFL game where it's the third string quarterback against the second string quarterback, and they're throwing ground balls to receivers trying to run 10-yard curl routes, right? Like, no one wants that. That is not fun. And so maybe you think it stinks that this is the way it is, but, you know, if you don't have eyeballs on your sport, you don't have ears on your sport, then, you know, that sport that you love isn't going to, you know, be what it used to be, or it's not going to get the type of attention and opportunity to be in the spotlight that you'd like.
You want me to get a little bit more hate from being a former player? Because if they hear this, they're not going to like what I say. Us as former players have to be more supportive of rule changes. Because you know what? The NBA sends out memos. And not to former players, but when they do something a little bit like, hey, we're going to change a little bit of this. But what we need from our coaches and our general managers and our owners is to say, this is the greatest thing ever. This is the greatest thing to ever happen. And they don't even have to believe it, but they have to support it as the greatest thing ever. And when they do, the fans are like, well, if I'm throwing out, I know he's not really the owner anymore, but if Mark Cuban thinks this is cool, and Jason Kidd thinks this is cool, and Nico Harrison thinks this is cool, and Dirk Nowitzki thinks this is cool, and Michael Finley thinks this is cool, then maybe it's cool. Maybe the stupid ass play-in thing that they are not that tournament that
the
they
NBA
have
Cup.
In. Yeah, that, like, it's stupid to me. But you know what they did? They all said it was awesome. And so these younger fans of the game are like, this is awesome. I think it's stupid. But as long as everybody says it's cool and former players say it's cool and the organization say it's cool, then maybe it's cool.
And Mike, some of that starts with, unfortunately, and I know you're talking about former players, but current players are going to become former players. And the relationship between the owners and the players is as bad as it's ever been. And you look at, when they were releasing the groups for the in-season tournament, I didn't watch the show, but it was on TV. I saw on ESPN, and they had a bunch of former players there. Maybe were they in Vegas, whatever. And it's like, I think Major League Baseball would have a really tough time getting guys in the off season to come and represent the sport, because they don't look at Rob Manfred and think, I want to do something to help you, right? They don't look at the owners and think, hey, I want to do something. Maybe they like their owner, right? But the other 29, they don't care for, right? The relationships, I'm not saying who's at fault, right? You know, I'm not in these conversations. But the relationship between the players and the owners is not healthy, and that doesn't help either. And you're right about the former players. And I don't think I would do this again now, knowing how intense Max Scherzer truly is. But one of the things that, you know, when I first met Max Scherzer and he spoke to the media, I told him, and I still believe this. I just now know that if he was in the wrong mood, he could like break me in 2 seconds. But I said, Max, I understand why you don't like the pitch clock, but it's not about you, right? You only have a few years left. You're not going to have to deal with this. And all the younger pitchers are going to come up having experienced it in the minor leagues. But this isn't about the game in 2020. You know, this was in 2023 last year. This isn't about 2023. This is about 2033. This is about 2043, right? And you're right. Whether it's veterans who have a voice or former players, I just think that there needs to be a recognition that baseball does not have the place amongst the American sports fan that it used to. And no one is asking you to change the game. No one is asking you to make baseball something it totally isn't. Let's use the pitch clock as an example. Everyone said, well, the baseball's never had a clock. Yeah, but you know what? The baseball you grew up loving also wasn't on average 3 hours and 10 minutes per game. So it's actually the baseball of the last 10 years that isn't baseball, right? Or the baseball that you grew up with. All people are trying to do is get the game to optimize its ability to entertain while not losing its identity, not losing what's true about it. But some of these things, it can't just be because we've always done it this way. Why is the mound 60 feet 6 inches? Because a few people in 1893 made that decision. Why does that decision need to be permanent? From more than a century ago, right? It just, things like that to me have to be reconsidered. If this was football, and you even mentioned it, Mike, the NFL's made changes, but the NFL can get away with anything right now, right? I think the NFL probably does things. I mean, heck, college football games can be 4 hours, but people love them, right? Because it's football, and football is capturing people right now. Baseball doesn't have that same advantage right now. It's a beautiful game. It's an amazing game that is more fascinating today than it ever has been. But they cannot compromise that by losing interest, and you cannot only work to appeal to the hardcore fan. Frankly, Mike, you and I, and you know this, we are not the target here. We love this sport. We are always going to love this sport. It's about the average sports fan who used to watch baseball highlights on SportsCenter and knew about the players, who doesn't anymore. Because SportsCenter, you know, obviously they've made strategic decisions what's best for them, but SportsCenter no longer is going to cater to all the sports, right? You're not going to get a random Bernard Gilkey highlight, you know, in the 1990s, because that just doesn't happen anymore. So you lose that exposure. You've got to take the sports fan who's not necessarily a baseball fan and make sure you don't lose that person, because the baseball fan is more often than not going to stay a baseball fan. But you got to work on growing the fan base. It can't be about maintaining the fan base. This sport needs to work on growth.
The most thorough man in DFW sports, one of our favorites for a reason that I'm sure you just heard, Jared Sandler. Jared, super excited to talk to you as always, and even more excited to hear you back at work once the Orioles come to town on Friday, man.
Fellas, great talk. I'm sure we could talk about this for hours and hours, but you got more in it. See, it's about entertainment, right?
Yes,
you gotta,
absolutely.
You got to make decisions, so you're going to move on to whatever's next.
I think we made a great decision talking to you today, though. Have a good one,
killed
man.
Killed Mike likes it.
Don't worry, we can revive Mike's likes.
No, it's okay. I was going to talk more baseball, so I want to hear what Alec has to say.
Mike, you got a segment off, all right? It all works.
Thank you. I want to know what Alec has.
Later, Jared. There he is, Jared Sandler. And you'll have a chance to hear him Friday, as I mentioned. Rangers welcoming the Orioles to start the second half of the season. Super important. And to get you ready for that Friday, it'll be the G-Bag Nation live from Globe Life Field at the Comerica, their spot in the Comerica backyard. And so they'll be getting it started there. And then Saturday, we'll be broadcasting live from Globe Life Field again from 9 a.m. all the way till 5:30 leading up to pregame, when you'll hear Jared lead into Orioles-Rangers game two of that series. So, man, this is your home of the Rangers, and you know we are ready for the unofficial start of the second half of the baseball season. It's the KNC Masterpiece here on 105 Through the Fan. And look, a lot of baseball conversation, but as Mike said, we want to hear what Alec has to say in AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day, plus Xavier Leggett. Nobody can understand him. Still, next on The Fan.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.